We are back. Bob Pompeiani without Joe Starkey today. He's on a well-deserved vacation. Austin City Limits is back there behind the glass at 412-928-9370. We shift into the Steelers, and here we are. Taking a look at their roster. It all begins tomorrow when they show up. Mike Tomlin didn't want any distractions. Whenever you have Aaron Rodgers on your team, I think there is potentially a cause for that, or Jalen Ramsey for that matter. But this is a whole new roster, man. They've changed it quite a bit. Love to hear your thoughts on it at 412-928-9370. So ESPN, Austin, put out who they think are their top rosters, and they ranked them all. The Steelers ended up 19th on that list as far as rosters are concerned. Do you agree with where they're placed?
I don't, and we talked about this a little bit yesterday, where some teams that are ahead of them include the Bears, the Cowboys. Like, what?
Well, the Bears are one of those teams that they're just right now fashionably
right.
The team to pick because of all the additions they've made, young players, and they believe that Caleb Williams is going to be that guy.
Chargers are also up there as well in a similar spot as the Steelers. I think they have a better roster than the Bears. I think they have a better roster than Dallas for sure. But the more and more I thought about it, they're probably right around middle of the pack, like right at 15, 16, Bob, where I thought their roster was a little bit better than that. But
well, from an experience point of view, they are. They're the second to the last oldest team. There's only one team, Washington, believe it or not, has an older roster, even though they have a young quarterback who's been very good. But they have an older roster, at least by age. And the Steelers are right there. But they have a lot of experience, too. So let's break this down as we look at each of these positions because I still believe there are needs here. And we'll start with wide receiver. They obviously made a big move with DK Metcalf. They got rid of George Pickens. They brought in Robert Woods, you know, one of those guys who, to me, is not going to move the meter all that much. Scotty Miller, same thing. Ben Skoranek, same thing. I mean, those are good guys to have on special teams. But it appears to me that Metcalf and Austin, along with the hopes that Roman Wilson will be enough to make things happen in the wide receiving. Now, that's not to discard any of these other guys. They could step up and play well like Robert Woods, but I still think there's a need for another wide receiver there.
There's no doubt. And I think their wide receiver room is better, partly because Metcalf is a better receiver than Pickens. He's a more well-rounded receiver than Pickens. You also eliminate the headache. But outside of that, you didn't really improve it much. Robert Woods, his career's better than Van Jefferson. They played together at one point with the Rams. But is Robert Woods at this point in his career better than Van Jefferson was just a season ago? That still remains to be seen. So they're just, again, very short amount of better, but they are. And I feel that way about a lot of position groups.
All right, let's talk about Roman Wilson specifically because I think the coaching staff over there now believes that they, with Roman Wilson, have a guy who's capable of coming in and making an immediate impact, even though he didn't last year as a third-round pick. You know that Calvin Austin's on a better track. He's going to be a very important part of this offense. But can you expect Roman Wilson, if DK Metcalf is completely covered? Now, this is where tight ends will come into play. We'll talk about that in a second. What do you expect out of Roman Wilson in his first full year, if he stays healthy?
I expect him to factor into the offense, but unless he has a couple of really good breakout games in the first couple of games of the season, might get lost in the shuffle, Bob, and that's because they have two tight ends. And Calvin Austin and DK Metcalf will probably end up factoring in a lot of two tight ends and a lot of two wide receiver looks with a running back. It wouldn't surprise me if they run some two running back roles, too, with Warren and Caleb Johnson, if both can end up flourishing.
They could.
Do you think that Roman Wilson, I think he still has some talent, and I think he could become a good blocker for them too, and just a good physical receiver. But do you think that they trust him at this point to be able to call him like a wide receiver three?
Well, he's had a very good minicamp by all accounts, and you know, if that's the case, they believe in what they've done, which is take him in the third round. If you watched him at Michigan when he was there, he was a good blocker. He was a guy who would do it ever necessary. He was also McCarthy's number one target.
And he had 10 touchdowns that final year.
He was very good in that role. And I think they think they can get a little bit of that going with him. And if so, it may mean that you don't have to go out and sign someone. There's not all that much left. The same old usual suspects we've been talking about. That does not mean, however, that if you go through training camp and they find that Roman Wilson's not living up to this, that they can make a move and bring somebody in. It may be somebody who's cut from another team. We've seen that happen before. I still think that's one player short of being a complete group. Now, when you mentioned tight ends, Jonnu Smith could be that de facto number two receiver, you know, or number three receiver, however you want to do it. He's shown with 88 catches that he has wide receiver numbers. He also has breakaway potential speed and 8 touchdowns. Now, he's older, and that was really his only season where he put up these kinds of numbers. How do you think they utilize him? More in a, you know, kind of a hybrid tight end slash receiver role, because he can line up and do some things in different spots.
Probably. I would imagine that he and Freiermuth are going to be on the field a lot, and one's going to end up playing in the slot. And Jonnu Smith is going to end up playing probably similar to a wide receiver role at times. Like, Freiermuth, I think, is a better blocker than Smith is. So I'd imagine that they would keep Freiermuth in closer to the line and spread out Jonnu Smith, where he also has some pretty decent speed to him. He can be their wide receiver too, but he's not a wide receiver too, if that makes sense. Like, would you rather trade for somebody, Bob, like if Juwan Jennings did come available because he wants a new contract, or would you rather sign a Gabe Davis hoping he can come back to his form that he was with?
I would probably go with Gabe Davis. They brought him in only because I think whenever you have a guy who wants a new contract, and Jennings only had really one good season that I saw in San Francisco. He was also helped by the fact they had some pretty good talent out there at that same position, which opened up things for him, and he took advantage. But if anybody wants a new contract, I don't know if I'm going to go in that direction. I do think that Darnell Washington should have a bigger role. And when I say that, I'm specifically talking about red zone. When you have guys who are that big and you get them down there close to the goal line, jump balls are always advantageous, I think. They did it a lot with wide receivers. Why not a guy like him?
Yeah, they tried it once, and it was when Mr. Unlimited rolled out to the right and basically threw the ball so high it would hit, like, the top of the UPMC building.
So you're saying Mr. Unlimited was limited in that specific play?
Just a little bit. Darnell Washington, like, you could barely miss him if you tried, and he did by a mile. So I would like to see Rodgers try to utilize him like Mercedes Lewis, like he compared him to, and utilize him in the red zone. Like, that would be ideal. This also doesn't bode well for Connor Hayward. Like, what is Connor Hayward's
role? It's a numbers game now for him.
It is. And unless Cordero gets cut, but he doesn't play a similar role as Cordero, the roster spots are thin.
All right, speaking of Cordero Patterson, now we'll go down to the running backs, because they're typically not going to keep more than three of these guys around. It depends on how the other parts of this roster go. But Jaylen Warren will come in as a starter. Mike Tomlin likes to defer to veterans. I think he's earned that opportunity. However, I still think they're better off with a split shared workforce there with Caleb Johnson and Jaylen Warren. I think them together can continue what happened last year with Harris and Warren. Kenneth Gainwell is a guy that tortured the Steelers last year. I think he had like all-purpose yards of 156 in that game. He can do a lot of different things. He's sneaky, he's small, and he could come out of the backfield and make catches. So I think those three guys are definite on the team. If they go beyond that, it's Trey Sermon or Cordero Patterson. You think Patterson is going to make the roster again? Because I thought after last year, he wouldn't even be around at this point.
So if Cordero stays, like, are they legitimately, Bob, going to cut a lineman just to keep Cordero on the team? Or like a special teams player. If it's James Pierre, I'm fine with it. I feel like James Pierre has been around for a decade now, and he ends up having to play a couple of games on defense and ends up getting burned like toast at least once or twice. Good special teams player, but is Cordero going to take a roster spot away from somebody like an extra lineman that they might need for added security if Broderick Jones is not good or if Mason McCormick struggles? So I don't think Cordero is going to end up on the team. But why not cut him now? Like, why not already have his money off the books? And sure, they have a lot of cap space. They don't need the money right now. But do you need Cordero on the team when all he does is return kicks?
Patterson would have been good in his you know, 3-4 years from now ago when he was still very good at doing that. I don't think he's as good as that. You mentioned the offensive line, so let's tackle that before we go to the phone lines. 412-928-9370. I know a lot of you have thoughts about the Steelers roster at this point. But you know the starters. You got Broderick Jones at the left tackle. You're going to have Isaac Seumalo aside from him. Then you have Zach Frazier, Mason McCormick, which two guys who were draft picks last year, that bodes well for them. And then Troy Fautano. They spent a lot of time and money on first-round picks, second-round picks to get this offensive line where it is. While we've talked about Broderick Jones being the key, and he is the key, I look at their backups and I have concerns, because anytime you're in a season this long, you're going to have injuries. They often do. In fact, Zach Frazier got his job because Nate Herbig got hurt last year. And he wasn't able to go, so he got in there and did a good job. Mason McCormick, same thing. James Daniel got hurt. Mason McCormick comes in. But behind these guys, you have Dylan Cook as the backup left tackle. He's been around forever, and I don't know that I would expect. Behind him, somebody named Gareth Warren, who is...
Who?
Gareth Warren.
Is he related to Jaylen Warren?
No, I don't think so anyway. But he's an undrafted free agent this year. Spencer Anderson was in and out of that lineup at times. You know, I've been lukewarm on him.
Yeah, he's fine.
Ryan McCollum, we've seen him, but I don't. Again, there's not enough time to analyze him. They brought in Max Sharping. He's going to be the backup at right guard.
Good for him.
Do you know anything about Max
no,
Sharping?
No, I know nothing about him.
He played from Washington. He's been around. He's been with several teams.
I would like to see them, Bob, get like a Chris Hubbard type or a B.J. Finney type. Somebody that's been around for a little bit, albeit they kind of brought those guys up and, you know, weren't they both Munchak disciples?
Yeah.
That he figured out how to utilize them. I would like to see something similar there where can you spend additional money? Why don't you pay $5 million for a backup swing tackle? You might need it depending on how Broderick Jones is going to do. You might need it for insurance for Troy Faltano after he was down with an injury all of last year.
Well, as of right now, their swing tackles are Dylan Cook and Calvin Anderson. And I'm not exactly sold on those two as far as, you know, long periods of time where they're going to have to play.
No.
But we'll see.
Or somebody to be able to help the run game as an extra tackle that could play a Zach Banner type of role.
Right.
I'd be okay spending $5 million on that. You have the money.
And they have $25 million to spend here yet. So
yeah,
I would imagine
plenty.
They're going to do it. They're trying to win now, and I give them credit for that. Let's go out to the phone line, see what people think so far before we get to the quarterback, which everyone wants to talk about. But, Steve, what do you want to talk about?
Here's Steve in Gibsonia.
Hi, how are you today?
Good. What's up?
What do you think about trading a couple picks for like Cooper Kupp for our number two wideout?
Cooper Kupp, I think they like him where he is out there. I think Seattle thinks he's going to be, you know, I think the days of the time for trading guys is over. I think if anything, they're going to sign a free agent who's out there who hasn't, you know, Amari Cooper still dangling around. I have no idea why. I thought he was, you know, a guy who could come in and play somewhere, but he hasn't got any sniffs, at least from what we've seen. Gabe Davis is another one. Or they could just take somebody off someone's roster as the preseason moves on. But I don't suspect at this point they're going to be making any kind of trades like that.
So, Olave, is that a question as well for the Saints?
What's that?
Olave, I think is his name for the Saints.
Yeah, Chris Olave. I think it's too late for that. They have their roster where it is. I think those were names that came up at one point. And again, though, I will give you this. If they go through this preseason and they find that some of these guys are really struggling and they don't have a lot of insurance behind a DK Metcalf, they may do something of that nature. But I don't think it'll be a big name. But it could be somebody else other than what we see on this roster right now.
Thank you. Have a good day.
All right, you too. Appreciate it. 412-928-9370. All right, now we go to the quarterback. And then when we come back, we'll get into defense here because that's the area that they spend the most money in. But at quarterback, Aaron Rodgers, we went through this little drill here, talking about guys over 40, 41, 42. Now, there haven't been all that many who have done it well. Tom Brady would head the list on that. But you mentioned something interesting about Warren Moon, because Warren Moon did play effectively at age 41, not so much after that. He hung around for three more seasons. But he had a pretty good year that year, Warren Moon, didn't he, at age 41?
Warren Moon made the Pro Bowl in Seattle in 1997. Now, he did only have 25 touchdowns and 16 picks. 25 touchdowns is pretty good.
Yeah, 16 picks, not so much.
16 picks, not great. And they went 7-7 in Seattle. He played 15 games, and he started 14 of them. Before the next year in Seattle, 11-8 at 42, and then he was the backup in Kansas City for a couple years after that. But regardless, it is possible. Like, would you be okay with a season from Aaron Rodgers with 25 touchdowns? Now, the 16 picks, I think nobody would be happy about.
Yes, I think 25 touchdowns would be a really good season for someone, you know, given where he is in his career. But I think he's been better than that with, you know, even though last year he threw the ball around, had some picks, and he had him here in Pittsburgh. But typically, he is a good protector of the football. In fact, he had one of the best seasons ever in terms of the fewest amount of interceptions, and I think it was in 2018. I'm not sure. But if he stays away from those things, but I do want him to utilize the middle of the field. I do want him to utilize his big tight ends, and I know the Steelers have not been necessarily in agreement with that middle of the field philosophy, but that's a big part of it. If you have Metcalf going deep and taking two guys in his area, then you can create some stuff underneath and in the middle of the field.
Yeah, Rodgers is the best all time at quarterback rating and then also interception percentage.
Right, he does not throw the ball around, which is a good thing, and that's another reason why Mike Tomlin likes him, I'm
sure. But it's been the last two full seasons that he's played. 12 picks in Green Bay, 11 picks with the Jets.
Right. The two biggest totals have come later in his career.
How is he trending? Because, I mean, he's had years where he's thrown 2, 4, 5. Typically, he just throws 5 interceptions compared to 25 touchdowns at least.
All right, Vinny Testaverde, I want you to look him up because he played into his 40s. I have no idea how well or badly or good, if he had a good year, but he played. He got injured but came back from the injury and went on deep into his 30s, into his 40s. I don't know how long.
He played forever until 44.
And the bigger question was how effective was he?
So in 2007, he was a backup with Carolina. He played 7 games. He started 6, 5 touchdowns, 6 picks, wasn't good. At 41 in Dallas, he started 15 games, 17 touchdowns, but he led the league with 20 picks.
Okay.
So not good for Vinny Testaverde, no.
No.
Now, Vinny Testaverde is also not in the Hall of Fame. He's just a 2-time Pro Bowler. Him and Warren Moon was a really good quarterback. I still think that Aaron Rodgers should be put on a higher of a pedestal. Now, you can't just completely erase and scoff at the interceptions that he's thrown over the last 2 years. You just can't do that. Especially the Green Bay number is concerning. The Jets, that was just such a dysfunctional organization or dysfunctional system.
But he had a lot to do
system.
With dysfunction. You know, he created a lot of the problems by bringing in his own coordinator, by forcing trades for guys he wanted there.
He didn't force any trades outside of maybe George Pickens, and if that's the case, that might be for the better. And he's not bringing in any of his coordinators. Sure, he's familiar with Tom Arth. Sure, he's familiar a little bit with Arthur Smith. But this is not Aaron Rodgers, a hostile takeover of the Steelers.
No, but it's also Aaron Rodgers who has his wants, needs, likes when it comes to offense.
Right.
And it's going to this whole season may come down to not just the tackle and how those guys do in protecting him, but also his relationship with Arthur Smith. And Arthur Smith should defer to him. You know, when you get a guy of that, you know, 4-time NFL MVP, I would defer to what he likes to do, incorporate a lot of what he likes to do in my offensive game planning. So I think that's the thing that we're going to see more of, difference that we have over the last year with Arthur Smith.
Yeah, like I think you'd agree, you should not let Aaron Rodgers at 41 be in charge of personnel decisions. Maybe if he says, hey, I want like one wide receiver in here to help out a little bit, sure. But, I mean, he basically got full reign with the Jets, which, of course, an incompetent organization like the Jets have been for the last however many years that just wants to get relevant and wants to be good is going to cater to Aaron Rodgers. At this point, though, Rodgers is just showing up, trying to ball out, play one final year, and go out on a high note.
Mike DeFabo of The Athletic had an interesting tweet on this. I think it was him talking about how many quarterbacks, 40 years old or older than that, have started more than 10 games in a season. And I think he concluded that there are only 6 have ever started double-digit games. And that's it. And Warren Moon's one of them. And that's that season you talked about where he was a Pro Bowler. But, the over and under numbers on how many games Aaron Rodgers will play is an interesting number. You know, 13.5 I saw. Would you go over or under that?
I'd go over. And I think one reason because of that also is he stayed healthy despite being sacked 40 times last year behind an awful offensive line. Like, you might think that the offensive line of the Steelers is needing significant improvement. It does. It's not what the Jets' offensive line is or was. Like, they don't have an all-pro center. They don't have Seumalo as a guard. Like, the Jets have some pieces, there's no doubt, but as a constructive unit, I'd say the Steelers' offensive line is better. Would you say the same?
I think their starters are, but again, I think the depth is an issue. I think anytime you go through an entire season, you're going to have to deal with depth. And their depth right now is, to me, very much a question mark. Because it's just not a lot of guys I've seen. And I think this is probably true of every team in the NFL.
Right.
There's only so much money you have to spend. And when you spend it on your starters, you don't have a lot for what's left over. So that's going to be interesting to see. When we come back, we're going to talk about the defense, which has also changed. A lot of new places or players in a lot of new places. Not just draft picks, but guys they've brought in via trade or free agent acquisition. We'll get into that.